You spend about one-third of your life sleeping. In my case, it's probably closer to half of my life. But that's not the point. The point is, you deserve the right to great sleep. Casper is a sleep brand that makes expertly designed products to help you get your best rest one night at a time. Casper products are cleverly designed to mimic human curves, providing comfort for all kinds of bodies. The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface. With over 20,000 reviews and an average of 4.8 stars across their website, Amazon, and Google, Casper is becoming the internet's favorite mattress. While I'm confident you'll love your Casper mattress, they make it so easy to say yes even if you're unsure. Their mattresses are shipped in small boxes that make you think, how did they do that? And you can be confident about your purchase with Casper's 100 Nights Sleep On It trial. This includes free shipping and returns in U.S. and Canada. Give yourself the comfort you deserve. Get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/ASMR and using ASMR at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Sleep and Relax ASMR. As a matter of fact, welcome to another ramble episode here on the podcast. For those of you unfamiliar with this particular series, I pick a random topic to get started, but I just ramble and go off course, and it's strange and incoherent, and most of you listening seem to enjoy my rambling, so I continue to do them. I'm going to do this one whispered. I try to mix it up on the podcast. I notice that most of my rambling is just me speaking in a lower voice, but not whispering. And I get about a 50-50 split of people that prefer whispering over regular speaking or speaking in a softer, gentle voice, let's say. So I will whisper. Okay, so topic of the day. Excuse me. Our starting topic will be the band REM. Why REM? Well, there are two reasons. First and foremost, a very friendly listener sent me an email a few weeks ago, and we exchanged some messages back and forth. And when asked, he mentioned he had a few bands or people that he loves that he would like to be featured on the podcast. So, Simon, thanks for that. Let me know in an email if for future reference you prefer I don't use your name in the podcast. It's a little late now, but hopefully you don't mind. I apologize if it does bother you. But this one is based on a request, so hopefully you enjoy it. As I adjust my positioning on my chair, I really need to get a better chair for recording. Alright, so REM, what can I say? American rock band from Athens, Georgia, formed in the 80s. A small admission, even though I've listened to the band a lot over the course of my life, I had no idea they were from Georgia. I don't know where I thought they were from, but from Athens, Georgia. I thought maybe they were English. I never really gave it much thought, I guess. Georgia is one of my favorite states that I've actually never spent much time in. And what I mean by that is I've passed through Georgia several times when driving, and I've enjoyed the state from afar. But I've never gone off, spent a few nights, and really seen what it has to offer. Sorry about that, Georgia. I would love to get to know you. I'm not sure why I stumbled over that. Going back to REM, the founding members of the band include Bill Berry, Peter Buck, Mike Mills, and Michael Stipe. Maybe it's pronounced Stipe. Not totally sure. Anyway, in 81, the band, of course, signed with the label Hibtone. Now, with me being the scatter-minded person I am, as I was preparing this episode, as soon as I saw the label with share some of these notes with you in this episode. Hiptone is an American recording label based in Atlanta, Georgia, founded by Johnny Hibbert. The label was released 8 records. The label, excuse me, has released 8 records, which is surprising because we're talking about the 80s where REM worked with them, so you would think if you land REM, which would go on to be such a massive success, only 8 records from that time, it seems low in my honest opinion. Anyway, the record label has worked with other bands including Design and RF and the Radar Angels, which frankly I'm not familiar with their work. So anyway, that was Hiptone, H-I-B-tone. Another fun note is the founder was a law student at Woodrow Wilson College of Law. What is unclear is whether or not Johnny went on to ditch Hiptone and became an attorney, or if he just never pursued a career in law. So it's strange, right? A law student in Atlanta, Georgia, creates a music label, ends up working with such a successful band at the beginning of life, of its life. I mean, basically, as soon as it's created, he gets to work with REM. But seemingly works on very few projects afterwards. So, again, it could be that they just, maybe he lost interest, maybe he didn't like being in the record producing business, but who knows. Anywho, the members of REM met each other while attending the University of Georgia. Who would have thought? After dropping out of the University of Georgia, they signed their manager, Jefferson Holt, who was so impressed by their performance in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, that he moved to Athens. See, North Carolina is a state that I've spent some time in, and I do love North Carolina. I think it's beautiful. I went there once with my family to do some skiing. Funny story. I've only skied once. That one time in my life, and that was it. And I was pretty bad learning how to ski, and I really wasn't getting the hang of it. Maybe after 2 or 3 hours, I sort of started performing a little better, and I was able to ski the bunny slope without too much of a problem. But here's what happened. As I finally gained confidence and some proficiency in the basics of skiing, from the corner of my eye, I'm going down this bunny slope, and I'm doing okay. But from the corner of my eye, I see this lady going fast, heading my way, and she had lost control of her skis. Of course, she avoids everyone, and there must have been, I'm not kidding, like 50, 80 people, like, within a very small proximity of me. She avoids all these people. But she basically undercut me, which is to say, she hit me from the side. But she crouched down, so I flipped over her, and my skis totally came off. Now, I'm convinced if that had played out differently, I could have torn my ACL or messed up my knees, but that wasn't the case, thankfully. But that one incident was enough for me to be totally sour on skiing. And I really haven't had much interest in the winter activity since then. Which I understand is ridiculous, because I should go out there and give it a try, if given the chance. What's amazing is how bad I was at skiing overall, and when watching the Winter Olympics a few weeks ago, or a couple months ago, whatever, I lose track of time, you see these things, these amazing athletes, they do backflips, they spin around in the middle of the air, and it's just amazing. Except for that one lady, I think she was a Swedish competitor. You've probably heard this. I think she was a snowboarder or something like that, and she was able to make it to the Olympics by competing. competing in these qualifying tournaments that were very small. And essentially her strategy was to not mess up. So she would just go up and down and not do tricks. But because she wouldn't mess up, she wouldn't lose points for them. So she ended up qualifying. I think it was for, you know, I'm not familiar with winter sports that much. But for snowboarding, you know, whatever you want to call it, freestyle snowboarding or something like that. That's at least the way I remember that story. I might be wrong, but it was something like that. So all these amazing winter Olympic athletes, except her, I guess, I really marvel at. I have another story, but this one's not related to snow or skiing, but it is related to REM. Back when I was in high school, I would occasionally get to school extra early in order to study or do homework, and every now and then I would meet up with friends to do assignments. We had a spot behind the gym that was pretty secluded, and it was quiet, so teachers and all that staff, they wouldn't bother us and make small talk in the morning, you know. So it was more that, and it's not that I dislike small talk, and it's not that I dislike the teachers or school, or I just, you know, in the morning, typically, it was an assignment that was due later that day, and it was my last chance to get it done, and on time, I'd say. So we had our little spot, and it was a great spot. I really like singing, and there's some songs that I love to, like, just belt out whenever I hear. Among those songs is Losing My Religion, right, by R.E.M. Another one is I'm trying to think of the name of, oh my gosh, the band. Plush by Stone Temple Pilots. Yeah, that's another song that I'll listen to on repeat. So anyway, I'm with my friends, and I was always a jokester, and oftentimes I was the first one in the group to get to our study spot, and I would hear one of my friends coming through the gate, and I would start singing out loud to whatever I was listening to, and this was just something that, I don't know, like, I come up with silly stuff all the time, and that was just something that I just developed. It's like, as soon as I would hear the gate open behind, I would start to sing whatever I was listening to. You know, at that time, I think I had a Walkman still and stuff like that, so, you know, it wasn't very sophisticated technology. This particular day, I was listening to Losing My Religion, so lo and behold, I hear the gate open that leads you to the back of the gym, and I start blasting my music. This particular time, I was just playing my music out loud, right? No headphones. I didn't do that very often, but this day I did. And I start blasting the music. And I'm singing, and I'm putting on a show, right? I'm standing up, I'm throwing my hands up, I'm pretending I'm giving someone a lap dance on a chair and all that stuff. But I never look behind me. So maybe after literally 15, 20 seconds of me singing and putting on the show, I turn around, and it was actually the principal, the gym teacher, and the janitor, who I guess were doing rounds and just chatting, and they noticed the gate to the back of the gym was open, so they went to go check it out. Yeah. Needless to say, I was very embarrassed. I wasn't that embarrassed, but I was a little red at the time. I remember that like it was yesterday. But I also remember some things, like I remember stories that, for me, looking back, they're kind of useless, you know, like they're not significant moments in my life, but I remember them with so much clarity. One of them is, I remember I was probably 8 years old, 9 years old, and I went to go eat with my parents. We went to, maybe Fridays or something like that. And I remember that we ate, and I ate a lot. And as a kid, I still today eat all the time. But as a kid, I had no shame. I was always eating. I didn't care. We ate, and then maybe 30 minutes after eating, we got to my grandmother's house. And when we got to my grandmother's house, my cousins with my uncle and aunt came by maybe 10 minutes later, and they said that they were going to Chili's, and if anyone wanted to go. And I got up, and I was super excited to go to Chili's. My mother, of course, was thinking, well, you just ate, why would you go to Chili's? And I said, I don't know, I just love the chicken tenders. I don't remember what I used to eat at Chili's. And anyway, I went to Chili's. I ate basically another full meal. I don't think I ate for the next, 48 hours because I was so tired. I was so full. I just got sick, right? Because I had a full meal at Fridays, a full meal at Chili's, and big meals I'm not talking about. I shared an appetizer. I basically had another, two or three course meal. So, but see, that's what I'm talking about. That's not a story that actually matters, right? That's not a story that had a significant impact on my life, and it's just random, and yet I remember that story. I remember it as if it was yesterday. As if it happened yesterday, I should say. So anyway. Another band I love is Pearl Jam, and I recently had the chance to see them in concert, and they were amazing. My favorite part was there were two or three people who wrote Tremor Christ on their foreheads, and they were essentially begging Pearl Jam to play the song in as part of their set. And after playing Better Man, they switch up, and Eddie Vedder tells the rest of the group that they're going to play Tremor Christ to oblige those fans. And the cameras in the arena focus on those fans while they play the song. And it was just great, right? Because you can tell, these guys have been doing it for so long. And they obviously have a set that they know what they're going to do heading into the show. But they were able to just kind of switch it up. And they just did it anyway, So I thought it was really cool of them. And it was just a great show. I was very fortunate to be able to go and watch them play live and all that. So anyway, as abrupt as it may be, I need to call this episode quits, because if I go any further, I'll be late for lunch with my mother, and if I'm not there in time, she'll be very angry with me, and I don't want that. Hopefully you guys enjoyed my silly ramble. If you have any questions or comments, you can reach me at hello@sleepandrelaxasmr.com. And remember, you can help the show in a big way by visiting our Patreon page or by donating to the podcast. All that information can be found in the episode's show notes. Thanks again for listening, and take care.
Thanks to Casper for sponsoring this episode of Sleep and Relax ASMR. Get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/ASMR and using ASMR at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.